Some time ago, my friend Mike called me and said,
Steve, I have a message for you. You have to make a podcast. It's very important. Do it now.
And I said, okay, I will. Can you provide me with extra time to do that during my busy schedule? He said he couldn't do that. But then I managed to free up some time. So here's my podcast, Audio Chimera. This is episode number 23, Boom Boom, Down Goes the Grid. In another podcast, season 2, episode 15, I traced some of the changes in radio and audio technology that has occurred during my lifetime. But nothing has been more profound than the impact of digital technology across the board in our everyday lives. It was not that long ago that, to tell you stories, we had to share the same campfire, or maybe the same phone call. Now, for you to be able to hear what I have to say wherever you are, at home or out and about, maybe you're driving, listening in on your phone perhaps, that's mind-boggling to me. So I had this idea for a TV show. Here's another elevator pitch. There's some sort of apocalypse. Okay, isn't there always? And the electric and communication grids go down. And people are forced to live without modern technology, and everything has to go back to the early 20th and maybe the 19th century. And the irascible old guy in me says that the young people have to seek out the elders for assistance in all those things we did before there was an app for everything. But of course, the elders also learn something from the young people. I do worry about what might happen in that situation. I was at an Apple store one day, and one employee made the statement, "The cloud will always be there." I should have asked about his faith in God to find out if that was as unshakable. It makes me think about what happens when you walk into a room and you flick the light switch and the light doesn't go on. What's your first response? Flick it off and flick it back on. And try that a couple of times before you are convinced it's not working. Now that's faith. I worry partially about how people would cope with a sudden loss of technology, but I also worry on a broader scale about people just forgetting the past. Sure, we have Wikipedia, but again, not if the grid goes down. And I see young people all the time not really worrying about anything that happened before they were born. Case in point, I was teaching an acting class, and I lent a book of monologues to a student for him to find something he could present. He asked what he should do when he found something. How would he let me know? I said, Xerox it. And he looked at me as if I had just begun speaking in Sanskrit. Noticing his baffled look, I said, Xerox copy. Apparently, I had now added an Urdu word onto the Sanskrit, which did not help. I remembered then my production of On the Verge by Eric Overmyer, in which these three women explorers, who travel through time as well as space, are slowly discovering the future. And one mentions encountering a new species called Xeroxin. And that memory sparked another from my time at the University of California Berkeley Department of Dramatic Art, back in the 1980s. I was standing in the old Dwinell Hall Annex building taking care of something in the office when a scholar from Eastern Europe who was visiting the department stopped by. He needed to reproduce a document he had in his hand and asked the secretary for two pieces of typing paper and a piece of carbon paper. You see, you'd put the carbon paper between two sheets of typing paper, type, and the carbon paper would make a carbon copy. That's where CC on your email comes from. Without skipping a beat, she led him to the copy room and said he didn't need to retype it, he could just make a copy. He stared at the machine in much the same way the early humans in 2001 A Space Odyssey first stared at the monolith. Oh, brave new world that has such machinery in it. As for my student in the acting class, I said, just take a picture of the monologue and send it to my email. He nodded, now that I had resumed speaking English, and he went on his merry way. The changes in technology have strongly impacted the world of acting for the theater in a most unexpected way. Students no longer know how to use older technology that might be needed for a stage production. Case in point, I was directing Woody Allen's Play It Again, Sam, and the actor playing Alan Felix met my direction, and here you pull out the album and put it on the turntable, with a look like, yep, the way those early humans in 2001 A Space Odyssey first stared at the monolith. So I went through the whole process step by step for him. He eventually got it. When I had cleared that hurdle, I then turned to the actor playing Dick Christie. He's constantly dialing his phone service and saying where he will be. The dialogue is obscure enough, as he says he will no longer be at Plaza 53456, but will soon be at XY27890. These are exchanges, I explained, like we now have the first three digits, like 836, on our campus. But that also served to further cloud the issue, since everyone has a 10-digit number. Once, when I was very young, we only needed to dial the last four digits if people were on the same exchange. Explain that one. I'm not sure I ever adequately convinced him of the whole Plaza 5 thing, because the actor got trapped with the rotary dial phone. And I mean literally trapped. He'd stick his finger in the 8 hole, for example, rotate the dial clockwise, again a term that no longer makes sense when one is surrounded by digital timepieces, and then he'd leave his finger in the dial as it came back. He would also dial a number that would be somewhere between 5 and 8 digits. No, it has to be 7, because people, like me, will be in the audience counting. And I do. In old movies, sometimes they don't actually dial 7 numbers. Of course, if you go back far enough, they don't even dial. They just click the receiver or crank the handle and ask the operator for assistance.
Operator.
Of course, I'm happy to be living in such a technological era. When I was young, popcorn is what you got in the movies. Then there was Jiffy Pop that you heated on your stove at home, and the foil bag grew like some strange 1950s alien from outer space. Then there were air poppers, and finally now we can toss a bag into the microwave, press a single button, and within minutes drive everyone in our work area insane with the smell of freshly made popcorn.
Mm.
And I finally get to see The Wizard of Oz as the filmmakers intended it. As a kid, we only had black and white TV sets, and so the magical transition from black and white Kansas to technicolorful Oz was lost on me. I didn't find that out until many years later, because frankly, I stopped watching. Those damn flying monkeys scared me. Which does bring me to one, and please excuse my deliberately chosen slightly humorous phrase, fundamental religious question. So, when a religious sect, and it's generally a religious sect, not a group of secular humanists who get together and decide to not use current technology, except for that one group of colonists on a Star Trek The Next Generation episode, how do they choose when to stop? I get the idea of being detached from the world, since contemporary life does have a lot of distractions that might interfere with one's innermost conversations with God. The reason I ask this question is that they generally want to leave technology behind, but always stop before the really useful things like gasoline-powered plows were invented. Subsistence farming was okay when it first started how many thousands of years ago, but now? How about some petroleum-based grease behind the metaphorical elbow grease? Oh, doing some research into my question contradicts my earlier premise. Many religious sects we would characterize as non-zipper-wearing are actually using electricity and cell phones. Which means I have to ask this question. What is it about cell phones that is so damn addicting? I watch people holding them in their hands all the time. Sometimes they stare at them as they walk, as if finding their destination by constant use of GPS and Google Maps. Then they text while walking, and I have to wonder, here in my old age, what could be so important from moment to moment that they need to be connected constantly? And also, why is it when religions stop at an earlier technological age, they still allow themselves guns, automatic weapons, and RPGs? Anything you want to hear more about from this podcast? I can elaborate. Just send your request to Stephen Schrum at museoffire.com. That's StephenSchrum at museoffire, MUSOFYR.com. Or leave a message at 724-835-4074, and I'll see what I can do. I receive no cash for products I mentioned, but please feel free to throw money at me to advertise here. For more information on my works, check out my website, museoffire.com. For written works, search for me on Smashwords as Stephen Schrum or Museoffire, or find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. This is Stephen Schrum. Thanks for listening to Audio Chimera.